because we have one ranger with another one coming on board who will be going to law enforcement school. So literally we'll have one ranger here from Nanilchik down, and also covering Kachemak Bay State Park for the next year. So we're stretched pretty thin here, and one can understand why some of the developments that are expected probably won't happen for a long time.
And you participate in some or work with volunteers to help, you know, maintain some trails and do some volunteer trail work. And I'm sure you're familiar with all the other groups, and Allison also mentioned some of them as well. Do you think those volunteer groups, are they kind of tapped out as well?
You know, we have volunteers stepping up all the time that we help facilitate the state park getting a volunteer coordinator in the summertime. And she does a wonderful job of trying to mix and match people for certain jobs. If you want to do certain thing with a motorized implement, you have to be trained. So there's a liability issue there, and you have to sign a volunteer waiver. But I'll tell you, the citizens of Homer have stepped up amazingly to go over there and keep some of their favorite trails open. And we certainly try to help facilitate that.
And Allison, did you... like you were perking up there, if you had something to touch on, or it's fine if you don't. I just wanted to make sure.
Sure. Yeah. I just wanted to mention that a lot of the water taxis, like my business, will take volunteer trail workers over for free anytime. So if you have a group, you talk to Christina Whiting and then get set up, and then we can bring you over. And that's what, that group of women I was talking about that are just independent gals, that's how they arranged it. And it's great. And there's also the Adopt-A-Trail program. There's mm-hmm. a few groups that are starting to do that. And I think that's wonderful. I mean, a sports team from the high school, the basketball team could adopt the, you know, Sadie Knob Trail or... you know, the Elks Club or whatever, I think is a great way to go to keep these trails open.
Right. And why don't we take just a quick break? You're listening to The Coffee Table, and you are tuned into KBBI AM 890 Homer. You are tuned to KBBI AM 890 Homer. I'm your host, Aaron Bolton, and you're listening to The Coffee Table. Today, we are talking about the Kachemak Bay State Park and Kachemak Bay Wilderness State Park draft management plans, and the comment period to submit your comments on the draft plan. That period comes to a close on Friday. And so in the studio, I have DNR, Monica Alvarez with DNR, Allison O'Hara, who owns True North Adventures and operates in the park, and Robert Archibald, who sits on the Kachemak Bay Citizens Advisory Board and also the Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park Board. And, you know, what I've been hearing from a lot of folks is the idea of uses is kind of the big sticking point, I think, for a lot of folks of what kind of uses in terms of transportation or recreation is allowed in the park. And Monica, if you want to kind of explain it, kind of give us an overview of the draft plan. I mean, what are some of the big changes, if any, that's proposing?
So what I really want to do is focus folks that are reviewing this plan on Chapter 5. That's kind of the area-wide management recommendations, and that's where we discuss the different activities and uses, and namely in this table, it's a matrix, by the different zones within the park and what may be appropriate in each of the different zones. And so that's where we really discuss the different uses and a lot of the things that we heard in the scoping period that were issues for people. You know, I talked about helicopters being one of the main reasons we kind of embarked on this effort. They're addressed in the plan, as well as, you know, kind of all the full spectrum of...
Sure. And why don't we start with helicopters, since that was kind of the impetus for this in the first place. You explained that there was a permit request for heli-skiing, was it?
Yes.
Okay, and so I guess if you want to start, what has been what is currently allowed in terms of helicopters? I know there's helicopter that lands on Gruen Glacier for tours, but then are there any heli skiing operations currently in the park?
No.
Okay.
And so there are. That's the kind of the only helicopter landings that are permitted currently in the park, and the plan recommends maintaining that for summer use in Gruen. And then there's a recommendation in there about perhaps allowing a commercial kind of competitive bid for one operator in the Sadie Tucka unit for winter use. So there is a proposal in there for expanding that.
And in that permit, it sounds like it came in all the way back in 2011, 2012. Is that permit still in the works, or is there anyone kind of...
So it was a permit application, and they kind of suspended deciding on it until this plan.
Sure. Okay. And so this plan would have to kind of move forward as it's written. That recommendation would have to kind of remain in there for helicopters to be able to run any kind of heli-skiing operations, or...
Correct. So that's how the plan, you know, addresses it. We've just kind of narrowed it down to one unit and put it out for competitive bid, and it will only be one operator. So that's what we are proposing to kind of address the issue.
Sure. and Robert, I mean, so you've touched on this a little bit in terms of trying to maintain this as a wilderness experience anyways. Do you think there's room for another helicopter operation in the park?
You know, the big elephant in the room here is, do you want to maintain the wildlife population? And it's been proved that helicopters will drive animals out. The helicopter operation is, it's not looked upon favorably by our group. We have some strong feelings about that. It's proposed for Sadie Peak and that other area over there. But anyway, there's no research or any kind of study as what it's going to do to the goat population up there or any of the other wildlife. Granted, they're going to be down lower at that time of year. And how good is that area over there for actually skiing, and whether it's a viable. And you have to remember, if you're going to have a skiing operation, you guarantee them some vertical skiing, and then you pick them up again and take them back up there. So it presents some real noise problems for local people that enjoy going over there and skiing by skiing up the hill or walking up the hill and coming down. So we're advocating that they don't expend any heli skiing over there. It's just going to add to the modern noises over there. And if you don't somehow or another corral the number that you have that you are going to permit, it could turn into something that most people that enjoy that park over there don't want to see.
Sure. And we do actually have a caller on the line. David, you are on the coffee table. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning. Well, I don't really have any questions. I just have a couple of comments, and I guess I'll start with what you were just talking about, helicopter usage in the park. I was on the advisory board for about 12 or 15 years, and that subject came up while I was on the board, helicopter use. And at the time, there was a lot of opposition to it, but the board advised the parks because it provided access to people that were not ambulatory, that could not walk to some of those places in the park, that it would be okay to have a couple of sites approved that helicopters could land and take people up that perhaps couldn't walk up there on their own. So bring that around to today and the proposal to have helicopter skiing. That's totally not the same thing. These people are ambulatory because they can ski. So this being a park and being a scenic park as described by law and preserved for its scenic and natural qualities, we don't want to have, or I don't want to have, and I would recommend against allowing helicopter skiing, because the people that are using the service can get up there on their own. And there are other people in that Tucka Sadie area that do ski, that hike up and ski down, and what would that be like for them then to have people land right where they are climbing up to? Secondly, the helicopter skiing operations have to take the safe sites on a day-to-day basis, so they would have to have multiple sites approved for them, and then you spread that helicopter usage out over the whole area, then the guys that are walking up have no place to go because everywhere they're bombarded with the helicopter usage. So there's that one point. The other thing about going back to the budget and trying to be self-funded, I think it's kind of, I don't know. If you have to build cabins to bring income and you generate $65 a day or $75 a day or whatever it is, it does bring some income, but you have to pay for the facility. So in essence, all you're doing
David, we only have just a few minutes left. Do you have a very specific question or statement you'd like to wrap up with?
No, I thought this was comment on the advisory board. I mean, on that management plan. So what I'm saying is you can't build facilities to generate more income because you're just paying off the facilities. What the park really offers is a place to go, as Kevin said, to go in a natural environment. And the principal facility or improvement that you need to have is a trail. Trails are not going to be funded by having a cabin somewhere.
Okay.
The trails have to get funded by the legislature, and the people, the citizens of this state, have to demand from the legislature money to operate their parks, statewide, and also Catchment Bay State Park.
Okay.
Thank you,
David.
If you.
And we got a number of calls in, and I'd like to remind callers, please keep it short. We only have about 12 minutes left, and there's a couple more notes we'd like to touch on. And Rick, you are on the coffee table. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for having this forum on the coffee table. Really appreciate it. I have a business over in Little Tucker Bay, Seaside Adventures. We do eco tours, and we have a real problem when we do hear helicopters fly over. We do have AGA, which is very much a necessity. We have also maritime helicopters. They have a place in Little Jackalop Bay, and they fly over semi-regularly. And then Tucker Bay Lodge has helicopters that go real regularly. And it's one of the most disruptive noise factors that you could introduce into a park area. And you have to realize that these our park over there is so unique. It's a big nursery for the wildlife, and so that's a big factor, you know, in what the cause and effect is from that noise level to the wildlife. And then also the people that live over there. You know, I have a home over there. There's many others that do, and so they're going to have to listen to a helicopter skiing operation, you know, that's continuous from daybreak until, you know, the sun goes down, multiple up and downs. And you have to realize that the fjords over there are like megaphones. So when you introduce noise, especially like the helicopters, it's just blast from one end to the other, very disruptive. And that's why people live there. That's why people recreate there. You know, it's like going to a library.
Rick, I don't mean to cut you off, but we have just about 10 minutes left.
Anyways, I just want to encourage everybody that is listening to this, if you care about your park over there, to respond before the end of the week, because this is our comment period. But helicopters would just ruin our park totally. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Rick, for calling in. All right, and we have just a couple callers left, but I mean, I don't know if we've got a couple comments in. I don't know if anyone wants to touch on any of those comments, or we can try to get through these last couple of callers.
Well, this is Robert again, and there's a myriad of issues over there. You know, it's we're looking at permitting. Airboats and other noisy watercraft, and we're dealing with a hatchery issue, and so there's a myriad of things that we're not going to have time to really get to today, but I hope that people educate themselves on that. And
and while we have the time before we try to get to these last couple of callers, Monica, if you want to kind of explain for folks who want to make comments, if they have not already, how can they make comments? When is the official deadline?
So the deadline is Friday, and people can email their comments to me at monica.alvarez@alaska.gov, and they can mail their comments in or fax you know, however, whatever is easiest. We usually receive most of our comments via email anymore, and you have until Friday to do so. And if you're emailing, the good news is you have till midnight on Friday to get me those comments.
Sure. And when can folks expect a final draft or final draft to come out?
So it's really dependent on the amount of comments and how long it takes us to process those. And again, I just really want to encourage, I heard a lot of diversity of ideas today, and I want to make sure they're represented in the comments that we get so that we can deal with that input and make this plan kind of that shared vision and as good as it can be.
Sure. And let's try to get through. We have now three callers in line. I don't know if we'll make it to all of you. We have about 7 minutes left, so please do keep your comments or questions incredibly short if you can. And Roberta, you are on the coffee table. Go ahead with your question or statement.
Hi. Yeah, I'm representing the Kachemak Bay Conservation Society, and we've been part of the working group addressing this, and the group has gone line by line, hours and hours and hours, and really the 60 days was not adequate. Touched on the controversies, the heli skiing in Sadie and Tutka is just a terrible idea, and I'm not sure where that could happen over in the park, but Sadie and Tutka, no. The jet skis, we oppose that. Personal watercraft sources like jet boats and hovercrafts, they clash with the present uses and the quiet beauty, and we hear from so many how wonderful it is without jet skis here. And then the Tutka Bay hatchery, the intensity of that has been a problem for a few years now. And so, yes, there are controversies, and we're hoping that somehow they get addressed. And that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Roberta. All right. And we got Shannon on line one. Shannon, you are on the coffee table. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good morning. Sorry, I'm going to turn the radio down here. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks, everyone, for their work on this. And thank you, Monica, for coming down to Homer to talk to us about this. I was born and raised across the bay and operate a wilderness lodge over there now. And I just want to speak to the value for our community, for Homer, for the Southern Peninsula, the value in wilderness and the value in silence, and that there's an economic value in that. People come to recreate in Kachemak Bay State Park, and they come across the bay looking for wilderness, looking for silence, and people are willing to pay for that. So that translates into dollars for our state and dollars into our community. So I just want to say that I support the work of the Kachemak Bay Conservation Society, and I will be submitting comments. I encourage everyone who's listening to submit comments to Monica Alvarez by Friday. And I just want to say that I do support silence in the park. Without motorized vehicles. So I support no helicopters in the state park, no airboats or hovercrafts, and no resource extraction for commercial use. And one thing I have a question for Monica on is climate change is not mentioned anywhere in this report. I feel like that's the big elephant in the room, is that climate change is not addressed as our forests and our glaciers and our waterways and everything is changing across the bay. So I would like to hear more on that. And again, I believe there is a financial value as well as a personal and sort of spiritual value in wilderness and in silence. So I think we need to protect that across the bay.
Okay. Thank you, Shannon. All right. And Monica, do you want to take that real quick? We have just about 4 minutes left.
I just encourage folks to make your comment about that so we can address it. And I think that we touch on it in the kind of issues chapter, but we didn't just kind of do a focus on it. But that is something we can certainly look to do.
Sure. And Robert?
We've made lots of suggestions about climate change, environment change, and we're hoping that some of that comes up in the final plan. We're also asking for a second shot at the plan after they review it and it comes out again. Seems to us that it's taken a long time to get where we're at, and we shouldn't be rushing this, and it should be a combined effort by everybody. So there's certainly things in this plan that are not what we think they should be. So if it's going to be a 20-year plan, let's all get together and make sure it's a product that we can all be happy with.
Sure. And just real quick, Monica, in terms of people's ability to comment post Friday, is there any kind of comments that can be given on the final draft plan, or is that going to be the kind of the end of the road?
So we will, Friday is the end of the comment period for the draft, and so we will then do the work of processing all those comments, reviewing them, and depending on, you know, how many changes we need to make is kind of how we'll decide the next steps. So it's really, I can't stress it enough. It's important that people comment and express their interests and desires for what they want to see for the next 20 years and how that is expressed in the plan.
Okay, and we have just 3 minutes left. Nancy, on line two, please keep this as brief as possible so we can sign off here. And Nancy, go ahead. You are on the coffee table. Go ahead.
Yeah, you just answered the question, because the main thing was that I was wondering about the next draft coming out so people can get a shot at more comments on this plan, because they're just becoming aware of the plan here in Homer, and it's so important to everyone here that they really understand what this plan means and be able to formulate what they want to do in their park. And so thank you very much for coming. I sure appreciate it, and thanks for the coffee table.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. And Sue, on line one, I'm so sorry, we're not going to be able to get to you. Maybe we should have started with the topic of uses in the park, and we would have been able to get through more calls. But you are listening to The Coffee Table, and today we were talking about the Kachemak Bay State Park and Kachemak Bay State Wilderness Park Draft Management Plan. The comment period ends on Friday at midnight. And you can listen to a recording of the show online later today, so you can catch Monica's email and email her with your comments. And in the studio, I had Robert Archibald, Kachemak Bay Citizen Advisory Board, and Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park boards, members of both boards, Monica Alvarez with DNR, and Allison O'Hare, who operates True North Adventures in the Park. Thank you all for joining me on the coffee table. And you're listening to KBBI AM 890 Homer. I'm your host, Aaron Bolton. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is coming up next.